Welcome to Merrickville.
Great to have your company, Sydney. And I know a few of you might be feeling a little bit dusty today. When I say a few of you, I mean Lawrence Mooney and myself.
That's two of us. That's two from two. I tell you what, I'm very excited today, Mez, because there's going to be a new character on Malcolm's voicemail.
I've heard a rumour that there's a new character today. I'm very excited.
He's a Dutchman. He's a stereotypical Dutchman. He's back. He's parked his youth out the front, and he's going to be on that voicemail.
This is literally going to be one of my favourite days of radio of all time. After hearing that, my producers are shaking their heads. That's a good sign as well. That's all coming up in this hour. Lawrence Mooney with you this afternoon. Well, it's an interesting story. You know, they're talking about building the second airport for Sydney at Badgerys Creek. And there's a lot of controversy, you know, obviously from people who live in the area.
No one wants an airport in their back garden.
No.
Nobody.
But here's the thing. You know, here in Sydney, everyone's got the airport in their backyard.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, everyone's under a flight path. I'm so under the flight path that we don't need alarms in our house. We just know. We just wait till 6 a.m. Bang. That's it. Wait for the planes to come in. Oh, hello.
One Sydney Comedy Festival, I was down at the factory in Marrickville.
Yes.
And, wow, you can really see the people inside the plane as they come past.
You can see people in the planes.
Their little faces against the window.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone.
Yeah. It's a bit distracting too. Like, you know, particularly when you're, like, going through Tempe or something like that and driving on the Princess Highway and you see people, you're driving along and go, can I see? But, oh! Stay on the road, Watsy. Stay on the road. But the one of the controversies that is attracting attention from residents is whether or not there will be a curfew for Badgerys Creek. The same way there is, of course, for Mascot, whether or not they'll be able to fly at night. And obviously, the whole point of Badgerys Creek is to alleviate some of the stress on Mascot. So therefore, yeah, you'd imagine that they're going to be flying 24/7, right around the clock.
Right. So at the moment, most airports in Australia shut at like 11 or midnight, don't they?
No, it depends. I think the crap ones do. You know, like Dubbo. I don't reckon Dubbo stays open much past 5, actually. I reckon they call early drinks. But yeah. I think
Hobart, it's around the clock, isn't it? It's one of the busiest airports in the world.
People just desperate to get out. There's no flights in. It's the only place where only place in the world where there's more flights out.
It's like a Birdman rally. People just in wax wings just trying to take off.
But I want to ask you, this is a little bit, I suppose, bleak. It's not really the topic of conversation, but I love the idea of curfews because we're having a chat with the boys in the office today, Liam and Leon, and we were saying, wonder if Lawrence Mooney has a curfew, because you come across as a man who needs one.
Yeah, I need one.
But you don't have one?
No, I don't. I don't have a curfew.
Really?
And I probably do need one, because I can roll home days later sometimes. My wife and children are just waiting for me. It's like, here he comes. Have you been, matey? It's like, I don't know.
Where's our absent father?
It's like one of those dogs that gets lost for 4 years and then
comes back. He comes back.
Half a tail, though. It's like, where'd your leg go?
You got an awful rash there. You picked that up and you're skinnier than you were when you left. It's good to see. Get off the bed.
My name's no longer Lawrence. It's Darren.
Have you ever been set a curfew? I don't have a curfew, but I was put on a curfew a few years ago by my missus after a fairly large session over a weekend with the boys, and she said, "Okay, for you know the next little while, you're going to be home before midnight." And I was like, "What?
What's on? No!
That means I have to start drinking at 6 a.m. I don't want to get up that early."
I think that post-festival, there's a little bit of an unspoken, you're not going anywhere for about 3 months. There's not a curfew at the moment, but a probation, is that the word?
Or
parole?
Parole. Let's call it parole.
Parole. And so if I
you get let out for good behaviour?
Transgress the conditions of my parole, I go back inside.
Yeah, but you get early release for good behaviour though, don't you?
Yeah.
We're talking about marriage, ladies and gentlemen, is what we're talking about.
Talking about marriage like it's a sentence.
But I want to
know. Imposed by the courts.
On 133353, are you an adult with a curfew? And own up to it. Do you have a little curfew? Maybe, or you've had a curfew imposed on you for a period of time.
Yeah.
Where they've said, you know, your missus has probably said to you, maybe, you know, it might be a lad to a man as well, or a man to a woman, however it works out.
Or a man to a man, or a woman to a woman.
Whatever. We're not here to judge. Well, they've said you've got a certain time. You're going to be home from work or something like that from a certain time. Because my old man, I reckon, was on a curfew. He used to have to be home by 6 p.m. every night. My mum, just because that's when we had dinner. And so Dad would quickly do as much drink driving as he could in that period of time and then get home by 6 p.m.
And even if he had nowhere to go, he would just drive around just for the sake of drink driving.
In the 80s, everyone was doing it, sadly. Mm. And it's not a good thing, and we certainly don't condone that. 133353, are you an adult with a curfew, or have you had a curfew, or even better, even if you know that you've got a friend who's got a curfew?
Yeah.
Dob them in as well. 133353. Loz, there's a very, very funny incident. You get Uber quite often, don't you?
I get Ubers all the time. Yep. I love the system.
It's cheap. It's efficient. Of course, anybody who's not familiar with it, basically, you request an Uber on your phone. The car comes along. You know the license plate number of the car. You'll know the color of the car. You can see where it's coming and everything like that. But you don't actually know. It's not like a taxi necessarily. You don't necessarily know who the person is. And sometimes, too, they don't know who you are because you're just standing there randomly on a street corner sometimes.
I've actually had someone waiting for an Uber next to me get into my Uber, and then I've had to cancel because they're riding on my dollar.
Oh, yeah. And also, too, they're going to a different place.
Yeah.
And the best part about Uber is, which I like, which is you get in and it's like getting in a car with your mate because they're so friendly because they want a really good rating.
How awesome is it if you get an Uber and they go, would you like a Mentos? And you just go, oh, wow, you can tell I've been drinking. And and they go, would you like a bottle of water? It's 9 litres. Yes, please. And it is. It's far more, you know, with Uber, you do tend to sit in the front and you do tend to talk to them. But here's the thing.
Always sit in the back anyway. Always in the back.
Oh, you scare people. You scare Uber drivers. You're the guy.
Can you slide the seat forward, please, mate? Give me some leg room back here. I've got to get my pants off and get relaxed.
So there was an interesting event. I don't know exactly where this happened. I think it was in Darlinghurst, was it?
Yes, yeah around that area.
Okay, so around the Darlinghurst area, which is a notorious area anyway. A Uber driver has gone to pick up a fare for a young woman called Chelsea, So he's an Uber driver. This is recorded from his dash cam. He went to go and pick up Chelsea, who he thought was his fare. Listen to the audio very clearly.
Hey, Chelsea.
Hey.
How you doing, honey?
Good day. Have a good time?
Yeah, pardon?
Yeah.
What's that, sorry? Having a good time? Definitely.
Yeah.
How are you going?
Good.
What are you up to today?
Just working.
Yeah?
Yeah, working.
Oh, that's nice. Just
make
finished.
Some money.
That's the way. Yeah. Finish for the day?
No, still working.
Oh, cool. What do you do?
I'm just some sex work.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Busy day?
Hey?
My girlfriend wouldn't like that too much.
Yeah.
Sorry, honey.
What are you doing then?
Hey?
What are you doing then?
Sorry, yeah, no, I've already got a girlfriend.
Yeah. I want to get out and go back this way.
You want to get out?
Yeah, because I want to go and make some money.
Okay, no worries. See you later. Bye.
No way.
I'm going to call her.
Hello?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, who's this, sorry?
Chelsea,
oh.
Are you my Uber driver?
Oh my God.
He's the first man in Darlinghurst who's accidentally picked up a sex worker. Legitimately gone, oh, I don't normally do this sort of thing.
Yeah.
Very shortly, we're going to hear from Big Mal's voicemail, but normally in Big Mal's voicemail, we'd hear from Christopher Pine.
We do hear from Christopher Pine.
And
last night, Mez.
I know.
There was a two worlds came together. I took my wife to Adelaide for the footy match, the AFL footy match, Adelaide Crows versus the Tigers. And sitting behind me was the Minister for Defence Manufacturing, Christopher Pine. And my wife's like digging me in that, look who's behind us. So I turned around and behind me was his wife, Caroline. And I introduced myself. I said, hi, I'm Lawrence Manning. She goes, hello. And they're four children. And then I introduced myself to Christopher. Lovely man. Just the most accommodating, loveliest man. And, of course, I'm wondering if he even knows that I do my Christopher Pine impersonation. And so he's smiling away. And I said, do you know that I do a Malcolm Turnbull impersonation? He goes, do you?
I said,
I do it on Triple M. He goes, oh, that's nice. And then he just goes, Malcolm's a wonderful man. And so I just wanted to keep talking to him because I love listening to him speak.
Yeah.
But he's such a polite.
I've heard he's a terrific bloke.
He is a very lovely bloke and such a polite football supporter too. Come on, Crows. Come on, Crows. And I think one of his kids were a bit worried in the first quarter because the Crows weren't doing well. And it's like, oh, we're not going well. And he goes, it's a long way to go. Go, Crows. Come on, Crows.
When worlds collide. Did you tell him that you impersonate him?
I didn't tell him that I impersonate him. No, I wanted to start off with Malcolm.
You gutless wonder. Merrick Phil here at Triple M. Lawrence
Moon. Story off air. A real just, a story with a real spring in its step to bring us back.
Just... Now be funny, Lawrence.
Oh. A terrible story you told me off air, and then we're back.
It was so sad. It was so awful. Sad. I don't know why. I looked at the clock and I said, I've got 45 seconds. I can tell Lawrence about one of the most tragic deaths I've ever heard of. I tell Lawrence and they go,
and then
okay, Mike's up.
And Mike's up. Here we go. It's like, what is happening?
I don't know what's wrong with me today.
Well, let's lighten the mood because, as you know, Mez, we've got direct access to the Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull's voicemail, whether he be in Kirribilli, the Lodge, or in Point Piper. And today, I think he'll be giving some, off the back of the story of the woman in the jail in Bogota, maybe giving some travel advice.
Hello, it's the Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull speaking. First of all, a pinch and a punch for the first of the month. I quite enjoy doing that to Lucy on the first of every month. Anyway, today we read the disturbing news that a young Australian woman is in prison in Colombia, charged with trafficking cocaine, also known as Bolivian marching powder, Charlie, Rack, Nose Beers and Booger Sugar. Well, my advice to young Australians is only go to countries with established wine regions, Italy and France, which reminds me it's time to open a nice bottle of Sangiovese. Tell me what your travel advice is and leave a message.
Hello, Mr. Turnbull. It's Mercedes Corby here. My advice to everyone is don't go to Indonesia or countries like Bali. And if you do go there, don't take 4 kilos of weed and a boogie board cover. Like me bloody sister, who was framed, by the way. She didn't do it. No, just take 0.5 kilo and shove it up your ass. See you, Mr. Turnbull.
Hello, Mr. Turnbull. It's Rudy Vanderstone, the stereotypical Dutch character from Merrickville speaking. I love Holland. My father was from Holland, and my mother was from the Netherlands. I think people should go to Holland. It's a lovely place to go on your holidays. You know, it's more than just a boy with his finger in the dike. And that's not a sexual reference. It's a classic tale of a boy that saved Holland. There's the windmills and the tulips in Amsterdam where the drugs are legalized, so you can get stoned up at Jesus and just walk around in wooden shoes. That's Holland. It's Rudy.
Oh, hi, Mr. Turnbull. It's Jackie Lambie speaking, Mr. Turnbull. I think people should stop going overseas and bringing Sharia law back into this country. If you go overseas, you're not really Australian, and you shouldn't be allowed back into this country. People shouldn't be allowed to go overseas. Everyone should come down to Tassie, you know, and help deepen the gene pool down here. And I'll show you the woodshed where Dad used to lock us up when he used to nick off for a couple of days pig shooting. It's tops and that. It's Jackie Lambie, Mr. Turnbull.
Go Crows! It's Pino! Hello Malcolm, I think everybody should come to Adelaide. Oh, what a time it is! Adelaide's happening! Have a commitment ceremony in the Barossa Valley. It's got submarines, they're hard and full of, well, you know, pie floaters. We've got a casino, we've got one tram. Oh, it just drives me crazy, I love it! Get into it! Yes, Adelaide! It's Pino!
Freaking robots are going to take over the world. For real.
Freaking robots. Good.
Make things easier.
Would you, will there be entry level robots that you can get to, you know, like have in your house to clean up and do your cooking and that sort of stuff?
Yeah, look, this is a thing. There was a report that came out today that automation and robotics are going to take over so many human jobs that literally, like in about the next 10 years, they project up to a billion jobs could be lost through automation.
Well, think about it. Driverless cars are on the way. So, you know, if you're a Uber driver or a taxi driver, you're done.
Yep.
RoboCop, that's already
if you're
happened.
A police officer, you don't need to be a police officer anymore. Got RoboCop. And does an excellent job.
Just let me ask you this question. Yeah. If you were going to get a massage, a sports massage, and it was a robot doing it, would you trust that robot to give you a sports massage?
It depends.
You know, just really high on the hammies, just maybe your glutes are a bit stiff. This is all right. The robot, turn over now. And
yeah. And then
would
you roll
you
over.
Trust that robot with your muscles, with your precious body?
Yeah.
Because just imagine if it short-circuited and tore a piece off you.
Wouldn't that be awful?
Ah!
I just understand. It's one fault is its inability to understand correct compression. How did I know that if we had a conversation about robots
it'd end up with someone having their penis pulled off? Torn off, I meant. Well, if you've got to take these things into consideration if 100%. Robots are going to interact with humans.
100%. This is it. They're having an entire forum about this right now in San Francisco about in Silicon Valley right now. There's a bunch of nerds discussing the possibility or plausibility of something being ripped clean off
by a robot that hasn't been programmed properly.
But maybe we can have it some sort of, fail safe. And the fail safe is that the hand just comes right off. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the fail safe. There's a break point in the wrist of the robot and it just flies off. And then...
Or that you just program a safe word into your robot. You just go, hippopotamus. We're talking about high technology taking over jobs and immediately we just went.
I thought... At the end, we'll probably get into a conversation about how you can have relations with robots. And it took about 15 seconds to get to exactly to the end there.
But I've got to say, quick. Liam, I haven't heard someone use my name like that since I was 15 at home. Lawrence. Sorry, Dad. That was very good. Oh. Very parental of you, Liam.
Yeah, well,
so...
For a bloke on the run from Adelaide, you sound quite sensible.
Mm. No, he's trying to rein it back in now, and he's thinking, what's going on in his tiny mind right now is, how are they going to close off this break? How does this conversation end? How do we get to the news?
I think we're going to go to the news with a bit of good old traditional workplace bullying of Liam.
Loss, it's been a pleasure to see you today. Thanks for being a part of my Monday. It's been a weird one so far.
Awesome.
And I'm only halfway through the show. And I'll catch you later on in the week.
See you Thursday.
Very excited because next Friday at the Warwick, we're going to turn the pub into the shops.
Your dream is now a reality. Hashtag best day ever. Friday, May 12 at the Warwick. Tell your other half you're going to the shops.
Yes. Exactly. You can make up any excuse you like. Tell them what you're doing. You say, I'm going down the shops. And then you just end up at the Warwick and you get some... you get stuff from the shops. You take it home. I mean, sure, you probably urinate it all out by the time you get home.
Oh, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much, because it is a pub. You can come down and join us. The Chaser will be there. The grill team will be kicking it off at 6 a.m. and we'll be there from 4 o'clock next Friday. Everyone is welcome, so long as you're over 18 years of age. Now... We all know that we're using the shops as a euphemism. Mm. And we're saying, where did you go? So you can say, I went down the shops. I'll tell you about a story, and I don't know if I've told you this, but this is one of the greatest things I've ever heard about a bloke who gave an excuse saying he was going somewhere. And I know that blokes do tend to do this. We make up fibs about where we're actually going, and then we go somewhere else.
Yeah.
I know these guys who told their wives that they were going fishing. They got their missus to drive them down to La Perouse, I think it was, or somewhere. And they said, we're going to meet up and we're going to go fishing. And it was in Botany. It was in Botany Bay. And they said, we're going to go fishing for four or five days. We've got a big boat. And they filled it up with esky and I had all their gear and stuff like that. The missus is helping them load out. They're all taking them down there, kiss the wives off at the dock. They get on the boat and they've literally just waving by, gone right out to the very edge of the heads there in Botany Bay and then turned the boat around. Got off the boat, parked all this stuff, got their bags, and went to the airport and flew to Thailand. And how loose do you reckon they got in Thailand?
And for fishing?
They told their wives they were going fishing. There was four of them, and they said they were going fishing. and they turned the boat around. So their wives are literally going, okay, you'll be safe out there. Yeah, no phone reception though, remember? There's no phone reception because we're out in the ocean. There's no phone reception, but we'll stay in touch. We'll send you messages. Stay in touch though, but we probably won't be able to talk.
It might do that weird international dialing code you sometimes hear.
That happens when you're in the water.
You may hear a Thai prostitute, but that is only because we're helping them. Sometimes they get lost in the ocean.
They do,
and we don't turn back boats. We help people out. So
and they came back with a fishy smell. So.
Leon, come on, mate.
They're fishing in Thailand. They're fishing in Thailand,
different fish nets, mate. Different fish nets.
Where you put your feet in with the little fish and they bite off all the bacteria from your feet.
Sure.
Let's hope. Very possibly. That sounds plausible. So that is one of the greatest excuses. I played footy with a bloke who injured himself and he was out for a couple of weeks. And so he just kept on telling his missus that he was going to footy training and then he just went to the pub. And he's telling to the point where he was also saying, he was going to games. He'd go, I've got to go to the games. I'll see you later on. And he would just go out drinking. Because he went, well, she just assumes that I'm at training. And he was never at training. He was injured, wasn't playing, and would just go out drinking. So what I want to do, 133-53, where did you say you were going and where did you in fact go? Now, it doesn't have to be as severe as Thailand. That's pretty hard to beat, although incredible. But when you just want to get away, you say, I'm just going to go down the shops. I'm going somewhere else. But really, where do you go? What is your excuse? Where did you say that you were going? 133-53, give us a call. Next Friday, a few blokes are going to be saying they're heading down the shops, and that's not technically a lie. They'll be heading to the Warwick Hotel where we'll be having a few beers. We'll be doing some
shopping.
Aisle shopping. Exactly. Weird-looking trolleys shaped like a schooner, and you put the trolley in your face. It's weird. But we'll be doing that we'll be there from 4, but of course the grill team will be kicking off at 6. So we're asking you, where did you say you were going when you were...
Because you had mates who told their partners they were going on a fishing trip.
Well, yeah, mates is a strong term. these blokes, let's just call them these blokes, they said that they were going on a fishing trip. So they all met down at Botany and they said, all right, off we go. And the wives literally watched the boat drive out, motor out. And they went, oh, that's great. And then they all went, oh, we'll see you in 4 days. Remember, no reception on the open ocean. So I won't be able to talk or call me or anything like that. See you soon. And then just literally turned it around, went to the airport and flew to Bangkok. That is the seediest thing. That is the diciest thing. I know you wouldn't do that, Liam, because you're a good man with a big heart. I wouldn't do it either. Never do
that. Are you putting it on the table? Are you suggesting we do it?
I think that'd be a great idea.
Next survey break.
Just any time. We can do it as a promotion.
What your wife doesn't realise is this show is pre-recorded. We're in Thailand now.
Oh, that'd be... I don't think I could handle Thailand after the weekend I've had. Have we got a call here, Liam?
We've got Daniel in Pennant Hills. Daniel, where did you say you were going?
Mate, I was actually meant to be at a medical right now as we talk.
What do you mean? You're meant to be at... Whereabouts are you now?
I'm actually on my way to the pub.
Oh, you're supposed to be at a medical...
Yeah, so I had a medical due today. I'm starting a new job. So instead of going from the medical and going out with my girlfriend's sister and whatnot, I said, oh, look, it's going to be long. I've got to get another test done and the doctors are packed and all this sort of stuff. You just might have to go out to dinner without me.
Yeah, okay. So, you've avoided a bullet there and also, too, you get to enjoy some time. Is it going to be a little bit suspicious coming home from a medical half-tanked? Because you don't normally come home from a medical tanked. You normally go there sober.
I've got a plan. I'm just hoping I haven't left the Triple M on in her car.
Yeah. Sorry, was that Daniel from Pendant Hills?
Thanks, Darren. Thanks, guys. You're good. I actually plan to get home about 5-10 minutes before her and open a beer, so she won't smell the beer.
Clever.
Oh, well done.
Daniel is a backup. Yeah, happy gas. Mate. Happy gas from your medical.
Yeah, that's why but you still smell like beer. As he says, he only needs to open up one.
I can always say that took a bit too much blood too, so,
Yeah, exactly. You're drowsy. Yeah, you're drowsy. All right. Mate, you've literally worked that plan right to the nth degree. Good. So Adam in Campbelltown. Hello, mate.
Hey, Mez. How are you, champ? Yeah,
very good. Where did you say you were going?
Mate, I told my parents I was going down to the Summit to put my car on the show and shine.
Mm-hmm.
And me and the boys ended up in Byron Bay.
Ooh, that's not even close to the same direction, is it? And what were you doing up in Byron Bay, you loose unit?
Oh, mate, Byron Bay. Yeah. And boys said it'd be a good idea, and we end up running out of money and sleeping in people's backyards and in their hammocks. and had to wash windscreens to try and get enough petrol to get home.
That's not exactly summer gnats, but I like the you've gone from just going to summer gnats to becoming a vagrant.
Still, oh mate, I'll tell you what, it was a road trip of a lifetime.
Yeah, but how long were you away for, Adam?
The funny thing is, we were away for about 2 weeks at Byron Bay.
Yeah, summer nets doesn't go that long.
I think my parents cracked onto that when they.
Yeah, when you were gone, absolutely AWOL. His line's just dropped out. Let's get to Ian in Sutherland. Hello,
Ian. Yeah, boys, how you going?
Yeah, very good, mate. All right, where did you say you were going?
Mate, I was in my year 12 at high school, and I told my parents that I was going to see a play to help me with my studies, but one of the boys had actually organised for us to get into a strip club at King's Cross.
To be fair, there are some similarities there. I mean, it's a stage performance. Let's not muck around.
That is
one of the better ones I've heard.
I reckon that's worthy of an entry into the badge draw.
Absolutely. Well, mate, we've got a badge draw. So on the day, next Friday, Ian, we're going to draw a badge number. What's Ian's badge number?
We'll give Ian your badge number for the badge draw next Friday is number 2257.
2257.
Get it tattooed into me.
Mate, if that's drawn on... Don't get it tattooed on you. If that gets drawn on Friday morning, be listening in. You don't actually have to be there at the shops at the time, but if that gets drawn, you will win $5,000, mate.
Fabulous. I look forward to it, boys.
Good on you,
champ. And I reckon Ian will go to a play to celebrate.
Oh, yeah, that's what you do. You get $5,000 and you go to the best play for $5,000. An amazing play. Sydney housing prices are not dropping at any stage soon. They're, in fact, they're obviously increasing every day. But there is a novel approach to owning a little piece of real estate in Sydney, a different way of doing things. There's a company called BrickX.com that allows you to buy bricks or shares in residential property here in Sydney, and therefore you can be at least a partial homeowner. And I've got the CEO of BrickX on the line now from San Francisco, where I'm sure he's doing some wheeling and dealing. Anthony Millett, welcome to the show.
Hi, Merrick. Thanks very much for having me.
So explain the concept of what BrickX does and how it can help people to invest in the real estate market without having to go, you know, hugely into debt.
Sure, absolutely. So what BrickX does is it has an expert buying team that goes and finds high quality properties in blue chip suburbs. When we find that right property, BrickX acquires it for a trust structure, which is then split into 10,000 bricks. And those bricks are then sold down to any investors who sign up at the BrickX website. Investors, when they then buy those bricks, are entitled to the their share of any monthly rental income. So all of these properties are rented out with professional property managers. And in addition, the properties are valued every 6 months. So you can see how the value of your brick and your share in that property is changing over time.
Yep.
And what's also quite neat about the platform is that even though you might be one of 1,000 investors in a property investment, when you want to sell, you can put your bricks up for sale on the BrickX platform, allowing other investors or other new subscribers to BrickX to buy those shares from you. So we're making real estate much more liquid than it currently is as well.
Yeah, 100%. And what is very interesting about your idea, Anthony, is that you can buy bricks at a particular value, and obviously you get the rental returns depending on the split, but also too you get the capital gains of the property investment. You know, if in Sydney, the way we see property increasing at such a rapid rate, if you sell your bricks in 12 months' time, you'll make a profit on the bricks themselves as well as getting the rent.
Well, the way that we've structured this is really to replicate or to give everyone exposure to the underlying investment, which is the property. But as you mentioned earlier, you know, the cost of buying a high-quality property in a blue-chip Sydney suburb, and we've got properties in Double Bay, Bondi, Mossman, et cetera, is just out of reach for so many people. So to be able to give them investment access for as little as under $100 is obviously appealing to a lot of people. And we're getting really good traction with the first group is millennials. Half our customers are under the age of 35. 74% of these guys have never invested in residential real estate before or had the opportunity to. So they're now able to get their foot on the ladder and get into the property market. And a lot of these are saving their housing deposit now in line with the market. So if the market continues to race on, at least their deposit should go with it.
Yeah.
And then the other group of investors that we've got that we're doing really well with or seem particularly appealing to are more mature investors, including self-managed super funds. who can now diversify into property for, you know, a few hundred dollars or a few thousand dollars or whatever appropriate for them, without the need to buy the entire property.
Just roughly, how much does one brick cost, just to give us an idea?
Well, it changes on a per property basis.
Yep.
One 10,000th of the cost, but they range from, we launched a property in Darlinghurst last week that sold out within 24 hours at $57 a brick. And the most expensive brick on the platform at the moment is in Sydney, which is in Mossman for $143.
No, $143. It's my dream to own one brick in Mossman. So I might get online, buy myself a brick in Mossman. And that way I can tell people, go, I've got real estate in Mossman. And that's what you get to do as well, Anthony. That's the upside, is you get to brag. You say, oh, I've got a little property in Mossman. And when you say a little property, you actually mean two bricks. So it's a great opportunity.
I was going to say you could go further than that and buy in a few properties and build a diversified portfolio and become a mogul.
Exactly. It's exactly right. A little mini mogul. It's, you know, the same way you get Magnum ice creams and they're delicious, but then you get the little mini Magnums and they're also as good, but they're just a little bit smaller. That's what it is. For more details, people can just go to brickx.com to find out more. Anthony Miller, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks very much, Merrick.
Cheers. And we had a special celebrity guest in Merrickville, Channel 7's very own Sunrise weather reporter, Sam Mack. Dropped by Merrickville to do a live cross for us.
He's such a nice guy, Sam Mack, isn't he?
Is he? I don't know. Let's find out.
Guys, how do I look? Should I wear a tie on the telly or is it too formal?
I don't know what you're stressing about. It's just a weather cross for Sunrise.
Are you a complete f***? This is the first time in Merrickville history that a camera crew has come without the premise of police are searching for.
The mayor's right. This is a real opportunity for Merrickville to show a good image.
Well, I am looking forward to meeting Grant Denyer anyway.
He's not there anymore. He's either on Family Feud or under the wreck of a car. Mm. It's the new guy, Sam Mack.
He looks sus.
He does look sus.
I'd agree with that. He does look very sus.
Mm.
Hey, guys. Sam Mack from Sunrise. Good to meet... Why are you all looking at me so sus?
No reason.
Okay. Look, so we're just about a minute away from the cross to the studio. We've got Koshy and Sam there. We're going to have a bit of a chat, and then I'll do the weather. When I'm doing the weather... Shut your faces, okay? No talking, it is all Mac. Understand?
Okay, but...
Say one word during the weather update and I will physically harm you. There will be physical repercussions. And if anyone touches my skin, I will kill you slowly.
He's not like that with Nikki Webster.
I heard that. And after the cross, I'm going to kick your ass over a fence. 3, 2, 1. That's right, Koshy. We are here in Merrickville having a sausage sizzle. We got some face painting for the kids. The locals are the loveliest people I've ever met. Lots of hugs and cuddles with the residents. You know me. It's just my vibe. And I'm joined by the mayor of Merrickville. Mayor, you guys are celebrating something very special today.
That's right, Grant. It's 100 days since our last armed robbery.
Great. That is just a great community effort. Mums and dads, everyone is involved. It's just a lot of fun. Let's check the weather now in your part of the world.
Mostly sunny for Cairns and Mount Isa.
Is that it?
So from everyone here in Merrickville, it's back to you in the studio.
Is that it? Ah, bloody phone. Hang on a second. Hello, I wake up with today.
Damn it. I knew I should have booked Rosso.
Joined in the studios by my producers, Liam and Leon, who apparently have got some important information for me.
Well, I think it's relevant, Mez, because you've been talking about it off air during the songs and between the ad breaks. Mm. You are incredibly dusty today.
Oh, I'm so shady. It's not even right. I apologise. It's not very professional, but I did.
That's fine.
Three out of 5 days, I'm usually a bit dusty as well.
Yeah, but so you're a young bloke. You can dust it off and you're okay.
Yeah.
I had a bit of a weekend. I'm just going to put it out there too. My missus had a vom yesterday, so she's worse.
Okay.
She's worse than me. She's worse than me.
Congratulations.
Because when there's a small fire in the apartment, why not set the whole building on fire? I mean, exactly.
Let's just do that. But I was hosting an event last night in the Barossa Valley for Tastings Australia, which is like this kind of like food culture thing. Mm. And anyway, it's wine and food.
Sorry, culture?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was there.
Yep.
Yeah, I was there. They booked the wrong guy. I think they wanted Eric Banner.
Eric Banner, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Because of the culture.
There was a bit of confusion. Marco Pierre White was there. He's the guy from MasterChef you see sometimes. He's the English guy that is the most frightening chef in the world.
The one with the greasy hair.
Yeah. And he was the special guest
Something's always confused me about Marco Pierre White.
Yeah.
Where's he from? Because his first name's Italian, his middle name's French, his last name's English.
I don't know. That's a very good point. I didn't ask him.
You should have.
He's very intimidating, that guy. I was told, don't look at him in the eyes. And I went, that's going to be very difficult as an MC. I'm not going to know where he is.
Because if in Australia, he would have, like, if he was, you know, from Australia, we'd call him Whitey.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be, but yeah, I don't reckon you could get away with that.
Well, here's the thing. I was actually asked by somebody. They said, is it Marco Pierre? Do we call him Marco Pierre? Or do we call him, or is it Marco Pierre White?
Yeah.
And I said, I have no idea. let's not get into it. So anyway, he made a polenta, like a white polenta dish with mushrooms. It was incredible food, right? As you can imagine. I got to eat there, obviously, because I was working. Anyway, and I was having a few drinks. Marco Pierre White I'm just about to bring him up on stage. So I go up to him and I say, I'm going to bring you up on stage in a minute, Marco. I've just met him. And he goes, apparently you're a comedian.
Oh. I say that to you all the time.
So he's aware of your work.
Yeah, exactly. He goes, apparently you're a comedian, like that. And I went, he's just, because I know what he does. He's an intimidating bloke. He's deliberately put one up me like that to try and, you know, throw me off.
Oh, yeah.
And I just said, well, why don't we find out, Marco? And I got up on stage, I said, oh, congratulations to all the chefs. This is great and amazing food. And I referred to the dish that Marco made. I said, and of course, the incredible porridge that we've just eaten with, I think, was that mushrooms or chicken? Whatever it was, it was really quite good. And Marco Pierre, I could see him on the side. I thought, I've either burnt him and he's going to get up and he's going to punch me in the face. Mm. Or he's going to get up and make a joke, and he got up and he slammed me on stage. Yeah, absolutely. Uh-huh. But it was good fun. It was worth it.
Well,
and then I had a few drinks.
Yeah, yeah. Look,
Did you see the photos of me on Instagram?
I didn't see the photos. I just saw a lot of red teeth.
Just red teeth, wine teeth from just got to the stage. I'm not going to lie. This is, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but got to the end.
You know
of the
we're life. On air, yeah?
Yeah, I know.
Okay,
but I've stopped caring today. I really have. Today.
You are that
today?
Hungover.
Yeah, I stopped caring. And so what happened is that drinks were kind of like called, oh, that's the last of it. And I went around and got people's glasses and poured their glasses into my glass.
The dregs.
Last drink dregs.
Yeah, I'm a 43-year-old father.
Oh, no. You're that guy at the bar who walks around with an empty glass so you can have a little bit of your beer.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Because they had like a port, right? They had a port. There was all these people. Not everyone drinks port, and I love the stuff. And I was like, oh, if you're not going to drink that, I'll just pour that into me. And like people saw me doing that, and they're going, oh, we thought, we've seen you on the Today Show. You seem like
you're better than
a
that,
good. No, I'm not.
Oh, you're not. Good point.
And then we got a lift back from the Bross. We had to go back to Adelaide. So that's a 1 hour drive. And we got a lift with these two people who are part of the organisational committee. And my God, I reckon after about an hour in the car with me, they were hoping that it was going to be a Wolf Creek moment. I think they would rather have ended their own lives than spend another minute with me in that car and a little flagon of port. Anyway.
All right.
Well, no, because Mez...
why are we having this discussion?
We're having this discussion because producer Leon might have found a cure for your problems.
Yeah.
Very important medical news this morning. Drinking two beers is a more effective way to ease pain than taking codeine. Or paracetamol.
So I've got two beers here for you. How do you feel?
I'll have them. I'll have two, and then I'll have 14, and then I'm going to pour some other beers into some more beers, and I'll drink those beers as well. I'll see you tomorrow. I'm going to go home and have a very big sleep tonight.
Thank you for visiting Merrickville. If you missed anything during your stay, subscribe to the Merrickville podcast on iTunes or with your favourite Android app, Triple M.